Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Tonight we're having a discussion of Think Like a Man 2. So we wanted you to find out and for you to let us know, what you think. You know, what do you think about the movie? If you saw it, would you recommend it? What are the social implications of the movie? We just wanted to talk about it. It seems like it's a pretty, I have not seen the movie, so I can't really comment too much. So we want to find out your thoughts and experiences. So, without any further ado, let's begin how we normally begin, by the Declaration of the International Black Summit, and we'll go from there. Declaration, and we'll do the purpose, and then we'll have some callers coming in and start interviewing the callers and finding out what they think about Think Like a Man, too. Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity, but the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world. It's a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. Today's day today is June 22, 2014, New York City. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the newly departed and for our newly departed ancestors or newly arrived ancestors and newly departed from this world. A couple of the greats that have left us, Ruby Dee and Maya Angelou, some icons of just some great women and some great work, just some loving folks that are really part of the conversation that we are, the filter that we are as people of Black African descent. So we cherish them as our new ancestors to the conversation. I like that. Without further ado, I think I saw somebody that was already called in. Let me open the mic of my fabulous co-host. Welcome to the call, my dear.
Thank you. How are you tonight?
you know what? I'm tired. I'm good. I've been busy this weekend. I had two meetings yesterday. Then my niece had a little graduation barbecue, kind of spilled over into today, and so and I went out last night to honor one of the women from the town, the village in Guyana that my family's from, on my father's side, in New Amsterdam, Guyana, Berbice. So it's Berbice, New Amsterdam, Berbice, Guyana. So that's kind of like the filtering down. So the woman was 90 years old, some of her friends were there, and I got to talk to one of them that actually knew my grandmother. So that was pretty interesting last night. And then this morning I spent about 3 hours barbecuing the rest of the stuff from the party, and of course the kids have slept over, so we had a house full of people, and so they slept over. So I got up and grilled some chicken thighs, you know, some chicken legs, and some shish kebabs, and some hot dogs and hamburgers and whatever else didn't get cooked yesterday. And then I went out, and then I went out to visit my aunt, who's recovering in rehab in the hospital. So it's been two meetings in the morning yesterday, and then that late night. So I've been running steadily. So, but it's all good. You know, it's all in the spirit of love and family and belonging and contribution. So, so it's a good tired. It's a great tired, actually.
That's great. That's great.
What about yourself?
Well,
what have you been up to?
It's Sunday, so that's always a church day for me, in the early morning, I should say. And this afternoon, after church, I really have just been kind of relaxing and just thinking about, you know, the week and the things that are coming up. But I did go and see the movie.
Okay.
And I can't wait to talk about it. I can't wait to talk about it. But I had a family 3 days. So I'm very present to family in this moment. I'm very, very present to family and what it takes, you know, the village within the village, you know, like the main village, and what it takes. And you know, I have a new, I still call them new, great niece and a great nephew.
Oh,
and,
right, yeah.
Yeah, so I spent, I guess, about 48 hours with them, and that was really, it's really nice. I mean, if you need a pick-me-up, just be around children, okay? I mean, babies, little children, toddlers. They, you know, it's just real interesting. And I was talking to my sister about how the children, you know, the children that are in our community, our love circle, I'll say, the parents have a different way of raising their children, and not that it's so much different, but it appears just to be very intense. I noticed with my daughter's friends who have children, and my niece who has children, everything is about the children. Everything is about the children, and you know, as well as it can be about the children. And I was just saying to my sister that it's going to be real interesting to see how they develop having everything be about them, you know, like every day the schedule is based on them, you know, their schedule and what their needs are and what is best for them, and giving them as much time as they need to relax, to go to bed, or however long it takes them to wake up. You know, it's just real interesting to see the dynamics of parenting or the different ways of parenting. And it's not that it's never been done before, but, you know, it's different for me to watch this at this particular time. So I had a really great 2 days with them, and then, you know, back to the real world after, you know, after that. So it was good.
Excellent. Well, I haven't seen one or two, so I'm anxiously awaiting to find out what this would this movie is going to be about, and it seems to be a pretty much a box office hit from what I've seen, the little mm-hmm. I've seen about it. So seems to be doing well in the box office, but I'll let you guys discuss it since you've seen it. And we've got a caller on the line already that is hasn't put their hand up. So if you'd like to speak, 773-752, go ahead and press 1, and I'll recognize you and bring you on if you'd like. I'm very, very looking forward to it. I think that now there's a couple things for me. And one is the whole barbershop conversation, beauty shop, barbershop conversation, which in the past has been the referendum for a lot of discussions about things that are happening in our community. And so I think now with more and more of us being in the movies and actually having some black topics in the movies, it now enhances the conversation around who we are as a people and what we're up to and what we're bumping up against as people of black African descent.
Yeah. A lot, there was a lot covered, you know, a lot covered in the movie, you know, about you know, just how we be about relationships, you know. At what point, one of the things that came up is at what point do you let go of your past way of being, and at what point does your partner let go of your past? You know, that was one of the things that came up in the movie. 4 or 5 couples, you know, one married couple, well, one couple that was married in the first movie, and they had children. He was a dedicated husband. Still dedicated in the second movie, and would get criticized a lot because he would go home at a certain time. You know, he would go and he would hang out, but at a certain time he would go home, and he would let them know, I'm married, you know. So I'm going home. I have children. And so you have that couple, and then you have another couple who, or those couples who want to be married but aren't really sure, you know. And I think in the first one they described him. One guy was a mama's boy, where his mother came first no matter what. No matter what, his mother came first. And that was a real interesting character. Then there was the one they called him a dreamer because he was always, like, thinking about his career, you know. And then there was one that would not commit, you know. He would not commit. He wanted to still do everything he did when he was in college. You know, he wanted to hang out. He wanted to have fun. He just, you know. And he was living with a lady, but he didn't want to commit. And then the married guy. And so those are the four different couples that were in the first movie. And there were a couple of friends also, friends of the guys or friends of the girls that were in the movie. And then that the mother of the guy who was a mama's boy, a real powerful character, but truly had control over her son, you know, a lot of control over her son. So a lot of the conversation with the ladies that I went with were about experiences, you know, like those kinds of experiences. You know, if we had ever dated someone whose mother controlled them. And it was interesting because there were many, you know, several stories about that. And, you know, and then at what point does the guy realize that he's being controlled by his mother, you know, and what that looks like. And then there was the single parent, female single parent in the movie also. But it was really, I thought this, the second part, was really, really good in that it continued to develop these characters and how they progressed, you know, or how they matured in with their lives. So I would ask because I think there's I think that number, it could be either a married woman or a married man that's on that call. And I would like to hear how they thought, because I asked them if they were going to see the movie, if they would come on the show, you know, and talk about.
So let me open up their mic. 773-752, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Sure, yes. Can. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for joining our show.
Yeah, I'm Bill Rodney. I'm calling from Chicago. I just saw the movie an hour ago.
And what were your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I saw the first one, and I was looking forward to seeing this one. I thought the first movie was great entertainment. And I thought that this movie continued the same theme. It was witty. It was sharp. It was fresh. You know, very, very entertaining. I didn't really look at it from the standpoint of doing a lot of analysis.
Okay.
I kind of took the characters at face value. This kind of reminded me. Well, the first one and the second one reminded me of when I was a kid. I used to love, you know, in grammar school, they would show movies in grammar school. I'm going back many years ago. And they would always say when the movie was over and they lived happily ever after. Okay, so
yeah.
I'm dating myself.
Yes.
And, I mean, now that concept has been thrown out of movies basically a long time ago. You don't see many happily ever after movies that they lived, okay? Now, this movie kind of continued that theme. I mean, there was a drama and basically all of the relationships of the main characters, but they lived happily ever after. And I guess, you know, you could ask, well, is that realistic? You know, is it not realistic? I guess I enjoyed it. I wasn't really looking at it for a message. I could see the points of view of most of the parties in the relationship in terms of drama. You know, they presented like this one couple that just got married in the last episode. I mean, the last or the first movie. Apparently, they're married here. She's older, and her biological clock is ticking. and she wants to go ahead and have this baby. I mean, at all costs, let's have it. You know, she was on a schedule. She had her husband really kind of, I guess, intimidated because it was no longer romantic. I guess from his standpoint, it was his duty to make this happen. So I mean, I perhaps better speak if I'm asked questions, but my response, my general impression was I enjoyed the movie. It was sharp. I would recommend it. If we want to go into a little bit deeper, then I'd have to have a question or a point of view put on the table to respond to that.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's very good. Again, I haven't seen the movie, either one. And so I'm a little bit at loss. One of the things that's interesting, though, one of the things that I hear inside of it, what I heard you say, correct me if I'm wrong, what I heard you say is that it was very entertaining to see the different viewpoints of the people, of the main characters, in terms of inside of their relationship and how they've ended up where they were. Was it of any value to you in terms of friends, family, or associates that you know that are going through something similar? Were they relatable, I guess, did it seem contrived, or did it seem like there were people in your sphere of influence that may resemble or look like some of the situations that these characters were in?
Well, I think one of the scenarios that reflect what you just saw was there's a couple, and the woman had an issue with his past, and she couldn't let go of his past. And when he's in Vegas, he saw people that he had, I guess, parted with in the past, and mm-hmm. they would remind him of that, all in front of her. So that made her kind of, I don't know if I should say jealous, but made her insecure, for lack of a better term. And mm-hmm. then he threw some stuff in her face about her past, but it was not as developed as the stuff in his past. Because, I mean, you could see several people that he had relationships with and fun with in the past. And so she didn't like mm-hmm. that. But he mentioned something about her past, and she kind of first of all, it was not as developed, but she kind of poo-pooed it. It wasn't really a big deal. I mean, she was had some kind of relationship with Kanye. It was just in passing, okay? So, mm-hmm. I mean, now, from a male standpoint, I mean, that's kind of a biggie. Okay, you have a relationship
right,
with Kanye.
Right.
What you doing with Kanye, okay? Are you going to the concert or what, okay? I don't think so. I don't think so. But yet still, she's all over Brother Man. Because
right.
he was called Zeke the Freak. I mean, he was out there partying.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that
uh-huh.
was not quite balanced because he could come to terms with her dealing with whoever she had dealt with. It wasn't a big issue, but she made it a big issue. But I guess you could kind of say, okay, well, that's where, from my standpoint, he was the bigger person. He didn't really challenge her about what happened with her and Kanye. He just kind of mentioned it, but I mean, it was not developed. But it took her to get to the whole movie. He had to walk on water almost for her to forgive him for the past before he met her. Because he had not been a dog, as it were, with her. He was a dog in a previous life. So she's going to, I guess, make him pay for being a dog before he met her. And I thought that was a bit, I don't want to say contrived, but, I mean, there was no balance in it.
That's interesting because in both of the examples that you brought up, the married couple and she's trying to get pregnant and this other relationship where one was more forgiven than the other, you know, those are real things that happen in real life that you bump up against in relationship. I've not had quite the experience of the first one in terms of being in a relationship where the clock was ticking, but I've been in a relationship where the woman was like, well, you know what, I'm thinking we should get married because I want to have another kid, and because I'm 38 years old, and I want to have one before I'm 40. And I'm saying to myself, is that really what I want to do at this point in time? Because I was probably close to that, or maybe a year or two older. And so I'm saying to myself, do I want to start all over again? Because my daughter at that point in time was probably a teenager or so. So, you know, so it's interesting. You know, I can kind of put myself in both of those situations, perchance, and come up with some scenarios that were may not necessarily be exact, but certainly complicated things, and certainly have to bounce around them. So it sounds like, would you say that most of the situations, and this is for you too, Henrietta, would you say that most of the situations that they presented were realistic enough in some form or fashion that people actually would be bumping up against those kind of things, and that is what also helped to relay people to the movie?
Okay. May I speak to that first?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I think that they dealt with a number of real-world themes and issues in relationships in the movie, such as the biological clock, such as not letting go of the past. Okay, mm-hmm. they dealt with them in the sense that they brought them up. I don't think that they handle those situations. Well, put it this way. They handle the situation on a superficial level. They didn't go deep down. But this is a comedy, okay? But they
right,
didn't go
exactly.
deep down
yeah.
to really mm-hmm. delve into it. It was kind of. I mean, and I don't want to be critical because I enjoyed it. It was kind of goody two-shoe in terms of how they dealt with it. You know,
okay.
it wasn't
okay.
really real in terms of people in a relationship, you know, coming to grips with their insecurities about someone's perceived past. Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't get down, okay? But it was a comedy. It was entertaining, and I guess it wasn't, from my point of view, I don't think it was meant to have a real heavy message, but it did have some realistic issues that people deal with. But I think it was handled, I don't want to say superficial, but it wasn't handled on a deep level, for lack of a better
right.
term.
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah.
They didn't get the Dr. Phil deep, but they
thank
but
you.
They
right.
Were,
exactly.
But they were playing
right.
around with it. They were,
yeah.
you know, they were exploring it and having fun with it and doing the comic thing with it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Cool. Henrietta.
I think. Oh boy, I went somewhere else. Tell me what your original question. What your original question was, Glenn?
Well, my original question is really, were the situations realistic, and because they were, helped to have you relate to them, or were they
okay.
completely far-fetched and not, you know, not plausible?
Okay. A couple of things. There's another couple that we haven't mentioned yet, and they weren't married, but they were, you know, really in love with each other, and everybody, I guess, was based out of L.A. And both of them had high-power careers, and she gets an opportunity first, and to become the COO of an office in New York, which means that she would have to move. And so her supervisor, whoever she reports to, calls her and tells her something is coming down the pike. It's probably going to happen real quick, da-da-da-da-da. And then she gets it, you know, she gets it, and it's really fast. And then she's told that she has to be in New York by the end of the month. And she's getting ready to tell the guy, and all of the people come by for the bachelor party. And so she chooses not to tell him at that, in that moment. All right, then you fast forward. First she was just offered the position. Well, by the time she sees him again, she's gotten the position. And then he's made an offer, and he would have to move to Vegas for his position. Now, show them doing it, but interestingly enough, they both turned down the positions. They both turned down the positions. And I'm going there with it. There was, you know, some other stuff because she never really got a chance to tell him. It was on the news that she had gotten the position and he saw it.
Oh my goodness!
Right. So that was one thing. But what I'm speaking about is the fact that they both turned down these offers, both of them.
May I speak to that, Reverend? When you get that,
hold on a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
The reason that they turned down the position is because they wanted to be in L.A. with each other. He turned it down so he could stay in L.A. with her. She turned it down so she could stay in L.A. with him. And the way it was spoken was because I want to be with the one that I love. Now, they weren't engaged or anything. There was something that was unrealistic about that to me because they were both like the careers that they wanted, you know, the positions that they wanted. So I, you know, there was something about that that didn't seem real realistic to me, not being in maybe what I saw as a committed relationship an engagement. They were in a committed relationship, but they weren't engaged or anything. And so for me, I think I would have discussed it with the other person before I turned it down because they were very big opportunities. Okay, Bill.
Okay. Well, I'm going to chime in on what you said. I think that the way that situation was handled was, again, superficial, and I agree it was unrealistic. Now, you know, I'm entering into the I'm about to come out of the third quarter of my lifetime, about to enter into the fourth quarter, seven years from now, okay? So my perspective may be different. And, you know, they say when you on your first marriage, you marry for love. On your second marriage, you know, if you get married twice, you marry for money. Then the third time you get married, you marry for companionship. And that's speaking of different stages in one's life, okay, in terms of, you know, what motivates you. Now, speaking from the perspective of someone who is turning the corner on the third quarter of his life, having been married for 45 years, I'm saying, hey, these are two single people. They're in love with one another. She's a corporate climber, and she's been offered a COO position at a major corporation in New York doing what she loves, okay, in her area of expertise. This guy, he's a thriving chef, and he has an opportunity to be the sushi cook or whatever they call it, the sub cook at some
chef.
Big restaurant, and that usually leads to you're having your own restaurant, and he's been wanting to cook all of his life. So I'm saying, hey, work it out. It's not like you all count welfare checks. Okay, you're on the East Coast, he's in Vegas, you can work it out for a couple, 3 years. And you're both doing what you love to do. If they had 10 kids, that's one thing. If he was making CTA money, that's one thing. If they were clipping coupons, but they had enough money there to work it out, and it was presented, okay, hey, one day I'm going to offer you this super job, I'm going to go to the board of directors the next day. And so, I mean, she ain't had time to do anything, so that was unrealistic because she should have discussed it with him. And I think most of the time, and this is what, you know, what I think is hard for couples to do, to really sit down and talk shit through. I mean, talk stuff through. Couples don't really do that for whatever reason. I mean, they had a bachelorette party in Las Vegas. It wasn't really conducive to talking business, but that's how it was set up. That's how it was.
Right.
But the way they handled it was unrealistic, and I don't think that a corporate climber and a guy who has off of a lifetime. I mean, they're going to be kicking themselves, okay? Now, if they do Think Like a Man 3, these folks are going to be kicking themselves because they didn't take, especially him, because, I mean, she's higher on the corporate ladder than he is. This is an opportunity to get established. You know, so that was unrealistic. But like, then again, it was entertainment. I don't think we were necessarily supposed to get any life lessons out of this, even though if you look hard enough, you can get life lessons out of anything. But this wasn't a life lesson kind of movie, though, I don't think.
No, it was truly entertaining. But I did, that kind of stuck out with me because I'm like, Vegas is just a couple of hours from L.A. So, you can live in L.A. and work in Vegas. So, you know, that's not like a big deal.
And it's 3 hours from 3 hours from New York and 3 hours from Vegas. You know, 3 hours from Vegas. So, I mean, they could have worked. I mean, with no kids and you got money, they could have worked it out.
Yeah.
Right. So, but anyway, that was just.
Let me ask this question then. And Henrietta, it sounded like it hit home for you on a couple levels, you and your girlfriends. What were the things that you saw inside of your life, inside of relationships that were maybe not as funny, but certainly it reminded you of events that occurred in your life?
I was kind of looking at that. I never had that mother-in-law problem or prospective mother-in-law problem. I always kind of really got along with the guys I dated with their mothers, you know. So that was kind of foreign to me. Let me answer your question first. I've never been married, so I can't talk about that. I would just say it was kind of the surrender that kind of hit home with me. The character who dated Kanye and was trying to, you know, work through the fact that the guy she was dating was so well known in Vegas, and I wondered if I could have dealt with that. You know, like, that's something that I could have dealt with because I've had that situation before. And so that was probably the closest one is, when do you let go? You know, when does it not make any difference? When do you get to the point that it doesn't matter what a person has done before you? You know, or do I get to that point? You know, and if it matters, why? Why does it matter so much what a person has done before? It's kind of like bringing up the past and making it the future. You know, it's like when you do that, you kind of never let go of it. So that was probably the closest one to answer, to answer your question, would have been that character, dating someone who had dated a lot of women before.
Interesting, because it's funny, both of the situations that you mentioned have come up for me. The ticking clock that I spoke to already, certainly the dealing with past relationships. You know, that's been one of those things that has been that I've had. I've had situations where someone was uncomfortable with my past relationships, and I've actually had other people around me uncomfortable be made uncomfortable in their relationship because they didn't realize that I had there was an intersecting person in our lives, and And I think that it actually ended up ruining one relationship, one of their relationships, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it was like, wait a minute, you know her? Yeah, we're all friends. We're, you know, like, huh?
Yeah, right.
So I can definitely relate. I obviously there's a particular amount of drama that is portrayed in the movies to sell tickets, but that stuff really happens, man. And I'm thinking that I don't know that I can say that I've had opportunities. Well, you know, that's not true. I've had been in a relationship, and I've looked at not or moving or not moving because, you know, usually it's been me that's had an opportunity. But I've also, now I think of it, I remember I was engaged to this woman. I was living in Rochester. She had an opportunity to go somewhere else. And I decided that I wasn't interested in it, but there were some other circumstances with it that had us not go where she wanted to go. So it wasn't only the whole relocation conversation. It was more to it than that. But it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting in this fast-paced life that we live. There's so much information communicated. And how do couples, adjust to that level of information? So I'm sure that it must be causing catastrophic problems because it's like my parents never had to worry about running into the exes on Facebook.
They're off of Facebook.
But Facebook is an example of a good bad thing. You know, if you're looking to be in, get back in touch with people, it's the perfect venue. But if getting back in touch with people is going to cause some people problems, then it could be the worst venue ever. So
That's interesting. Let me ask
Bill a question, Glenn.
Okay.
I want to ask you, Bill, about what you thought about the married couple, the married guy. You know, there were a couple of scenes with him. And, you know, like the first movie, how he would always go home, you know. Well, what I remember of the first movie.
Right.
Is they were always trying to get him to stay longer and all of this, and how he would, what I remember is that he would always go home, you know. And in this movie, you saw his wife, and then you saw his interaction when he had to make that phone call,
right.
His interaction with his children on the phone. What did you think about him?
Well, this is what I think. I mean, for what I've been thinking as we've been having this discussion, I think that there's an old saying about youth being wasted on the young, and
mm-hmm.
as we mature, our views change on a lot of subjects. I mean, maybe Bill Rodney at 21, wouldn't think highly of Bill Rodney. A cat who's in his late 60s in terms of one's values. But I think that what it kind of showed about his character is that he was a character in touch with himself, and he was secure in himself. And, I mean, that's something I can relate to, having not been secure in some situations at an earlier age and maybe not necessarily being influenced by the crowd in terms of going along with the crowd, but really maybe not being, as thoughtful as I am now about situations, and then maybe kind of taking a it's a lesser or a weaker position in some of my actions and attitudes. I mean, this guy was firm. Hey, it's 11 o'clock. I got to go home. I don't care what y'all say. And see, I admire that because I think there was a time in my life where I probably would have left, but I would have left for another reason. I probably wouldn't have said, hey, I ain't thinking about you Negroes, okay? I'm getting out of here, okay? I'm going to go with my wife. I probably would have made something up, okay, because, you know, you got to keep up your front. You know, you got to let us know, you know, hey, you know, not that I'm necessarily running this, but I ain't henpecked now, no. And, I mean, people do tease. So I'm saying, you know, when you get older or when you have certain life experiences, you know, you could be more mature about, well, this is what I want to do, and I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be influenced by you. Now, Nancy never knew this, but when we were married, you show you how your friends, I hate to use the word play you, but they know you, and some people know how to manipulate. And I don't think I've ever been a conscious manipulator. I think I wanted to ask somebody something. I would ask them something. We were married. This is our first year of marriage, and we had several couples that we hung with. And I think that there was a period of time where, like maybe one weekend, you know, we would have someone over. Next weekend, so and so would have somebody over. I mean, you know, you just married, don't have a whole lot of money. I know we certainly didn't. And then you know, try to have some food or some pop or whatever you had. And I remember maybe we were the second or third couple whose turn it was to have someone over because we were kind of rotating it. And the way it was put to me, and I fell for it, okay, where it was put to me, Bill, who's the boss of your house, okay? Who's the boss of your house? I'm the boss of my house, okay. Well, look, we want to have a thing at your house this time. It's your time. So now I didn't go back and tell my wife, I'm the boss of my house, we're going to have this thing, okay? But we did have it, but I made it, in terms of the guy who asked me that, I made him feel, well, I'm the boss, I'm making the decision. And so when I discussed it with my wife, it didn't come out like, hey, we're going to have this thing here, take it or leave it. See, but now that's what you know, your friends, end quote, do that. And see, I didn't have the maturity or self-confidence to say, no, man, I don't play that kind of game. If we want to have somebody discuss with my wife, you know, because, I mean, just having been married a number of years, it seems like the decisions I've made without involving her have not turned out as well as the ones where I discuss it with her and explain it to her. A lot of times, you know, in your own mind, you think you want to do something. When you go to putting it out there, it may not make sense. In your mind, it makes sense because you're not being challenged. You're not articulating it. You're not thinking clearly. So I respect the guy who said, hey, I got to go home. You know, and he stood firm on it. And with me, I mean, that was maybe a sign of maturation. I don't know how many years it took. But he was confident in who he was enough to say, hey, my wife and family are more important to me than hanging out with you guys drinking and who can brag the longest and tell the most lies. Yeah. So there was something in that, and I admire that.
Yeah, I thought so too. So now here's another scenario in part two that came up that is kind of noteworthy. There's the mother-in-law, not the mother-in-law, the mother-in-law-to-be, the real, the mama's boy's mother.
Yeah, mama. Okay? Mama's boy's mama.
Right. And very strong, very, I mean, controlling, had decided she was going to take over the bachelorette party. She took it over. And, you know, they had to kind of figure out how to get rid of her, and they did. And but the next day she was right back on her job. Yeah, you know, doing and conniving and doing this and doing that and still creating very negative situations for the bride. And so there comes a time where the groom walks in and he hears his mother actually talking to his fiance a particular way, and he kind of comes to himself and goes in. She even got adjoining rooms, Glenn, to the wedding suite.
Yes. Oh, no.
Adjoining rooms, right. And so he overhears and he goes in and he tells his mother, you know, you can't talk to her like that. I'm going to marry her no matter. So he, you know, he has this conversation that people have been waiting for him to have for two movies, you know, and he finally has it with her. And he tells her, if you do not apologize to her, you are no longer invited to the wedding.
Ooh.
And, okay, and so then, and she says, well, I'm not going to apologize to her. So he walks on out. And so the bride overhears him talking to his mother. Now, remember, she's a single parent. She has a son. And I say the little boy's about 6 or 7, something like that. And so, you know, they have a conversation about it. And in the conversation, she says, you know, we can't get married because this, you know, this it's just not going to work because of this. And she says to him that, and he's saying why, you know, he's asking why, you know, like whatever. And she's saying because you need to apologize to your mother because I'm a mother. And I got
a mama's boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hate not to be invited to my son's wedding. So it was like, you know, you don't expect that. You don't expect that to, I didn't expect that to happen. I knew something was going to happen, but I figured that she was going to come in and apologize because she would want to go to the wedding. But the little turn that was there was that the bride spoke up and, you know, and said, you know, about not being invited. Now, Bill, what did you think about that part?
Well, I think it kind of had to happen. It kind of had to happen. And I think that I think in all relationships, and this is not the right terminology, but someone has to agree to be the bigger person in some situations. And then you both win. Because, I mean, both of these movies have been pitted, you know, the men against the women. Okay. You know, the war and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you have to be the bigger person. And, you know, and she had to, and sometimes, you know, you got to check yourself. You got to check yourself. And I think that's hard to do. A lot of times, I mean, for whatever reasons, I mean, we want to be right. You know, the difference between being right and making things work. Do you want things to work or... is it more important that you're right? You say, I'm right about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Or as we say, is it more important to be, Glenn, help me with this, to be something or to be right? You know, we are always in that question. You know, like, is it more important for you to be right or for the communication, you know,
well,
to be
well,
on
we
block?
Have, we have that distinction, no right way to be.
Right.
And that kind of speaks to it in terms of, you know, are we making ourselves right or, you know, or if there is no right way to be, then what's possible, you know, what's available, but, you know, what do I see in this moment in relationship to this situation?
Yeah. Yeah, there was something else about that I was looking to see. But that was, you know, like you said, something had to happen at that point. Something had to happen. But it was, I thought it was a good movie. It was, we're talking about some serious things But believe me, it was not that serious. The movie was, I mean, you laugh from the time it started until the end. It was, I mean, there was some funny scenes in that movie. Those are just some talking points I kind of pulled out of it. But there, it was, I mean, the bachelor party or the bachelorette night, that scene in the strip bar was just hysterical. You know, I mean, it just, you were laughing when the scene was over and people were just still laughing about that, you know. I thought it was very, very entertaining, you know.
Well, it sounds like it speaks to the writers, like the writers really had some good thoughts about what to do.
Yes, I have to, Glenn, I have to say, I mean, you're so right about that. We, you know, there's a very popular director out. He's had, you know, a lot of movies. I mean, a lot of money. Hey, and I mean, I can't criticize him, okay, because he's been very successful in terms of what he does. But, I mean, these movies are on a whole different level. You know, I mean, you can make money on a kindergarten level. You can make movie on a high school level. You can make movie on a college or a graduate school level. And compared to some of the popular movies that make a lot of money, and hey, and I ain't mad at them. These movies, they had so many layers, so much depth. It was so sharp. And I guess maybe if I'm almost a billionaire, I'm going to do what works for me, okay? And Tyler's doing what works for him. But this movie, I mean, to me, particularly these Madea movies, I mean, there's no comparison, because I bet you can't remember two lines from anything you've seen in Madea, probably. You know, but it's very well written, very sharp, very today. You know, just well done, well done.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Bill. Thank you for joining us. And thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for sharing. Bill, I mean, Glenn, this is Nancy's husband that we're talking to.
Oh, okay.
Diane, my sister Diane. That's who we're talking to, my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Invite me back again.
We can
discuss some politics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We, okay.
Y'all take it easy now.
Okay, all right,
thanks.
Very good. Thanks.
Good night.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Yeah. Glenn.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and look, I should call him my brother, not my brother-in-law, because he's been my brother for 45 years.
I hear you.
Okay. So, family, you know, we both have had these family weekends, you know. And, of course, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we've been discussing Think Like a Man Part 2. But we do invite you to go to blacksummit.org and register for the 2014 Summit event in Belize City, Belize. You can do the summit virtually. So if you don't want to physically be in Belize, you can do the summit virtually. But you do have to be prepared for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that you can do the prerequisite on Thursday, 9 a.m. That will be 9 a.m. Belizean time, which I think is mountain time in the United States. And that's on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday would be the actual annual summit event. So make sure you go to blacksummit.org and register. We're welcoming Lenar and her family back to Chicago for the summer. And our love to Claudie and Andrea, who are, they're having a point, that is a place, they're creating a place for people to do the summit in Chicago virtually, and there will be places that are set up in different states where people can come together as a group and do the summit virtually, and Chicago is one of those places. So if you go to blacksummit.org, you can shoot us an email and let us know that you would like to participate, you register, you're going to be there physically, or you would like to do it virtually from wherever you are. It doesn't have to be Chicago. It can be wherever you have, excuse me, a computer.
God bless
you. Thank you. And we'll be on WebEx. And so you do need a camera. You do need either a phone with a camera or a computer with a camera to join us virtually for the annual summit event. Glenn, back to you.
Well, really, on that note, you know, we're out of time, but we love having you. We love engaging in the conversation of the International Black Summit, and we have an opportunity to have topics, and you can call us and let us know or send us an email and have certain topics be available. We love to talk to you. We love to. This is a community radio station, and this is about us being in touch with you and making a difference in your life and in your lives of the community that you live in. So with that, don't forget our website, www.blacksummit.org. There's lots of juicy information about what we're up to and who we're looking to empower. I just launched a blog for Community and Social Changes. It's available in my Facebook Facebook page, and there's also a website, and we're having social consciousness kinds of conversations. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that are happening. So tune into the website, www.blacksummit.org, and find out where some of the people are up to. Because you'll be surprised, intrigued, and sometimes overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Well, with that note, I bid you adieu. Good night. God bless. All the best.
Good night. Thanks, Glenn. Good night.
Good night.